Blog Talk Radio.
Why is office music selling a lot? Why is the music industry state of mind real far from hip hop? Why vote Republican if you black? Why build more jails, less schools, cause we under attack? Why keep the full pound in the air? The revolution will not be televised. Get around here. Why keep my right fist in the sky? I let them know that we gon' make it, don't plan our demise. Why you gotta teach your kids on your own? Cause when you get in the zone, they bringing you in, you both getting cloned. Why we still gotta pray to Allah? Hip hop versus the new world order, and they playing this hard. Why rappers can't protection? Why the country ain't flipped when they jerk the votes the last election? Why I die for all my beliefs? I gotta look at my kids, I'd rather smile than cry when they sleep. That's why.
Why the guy is struggling? Why? All the problems like what I'm going to do. Trained up in the system going crazy. I better leave my pistol.
Why do niggas say I changed for a girl? Why you worry about my clothes if my flow gon' change the world? Why you wait till you 30 to try to be hard? Why I gotta have religion if I believe in God? Why you still acting like you trying to get Osama? Why don't we impeach him and elect Obama? Why ain't Rick James remembered for classic hits? Why do we remember Rick for smacking a bitch? Why did Ricky Williams retire? They mad in Miami. Why did Justin sell Janet out and go to the Grammys? Why you kill on every song? Why you frown at the screen? There's so many thrones. Why we argue who is the king? Why it's over for the gangster? Why it's over for Bling? Why they hype Britney up? They know she can't sing. Why I whip and the chain a black American dream? Why I know it in my heart, it remains unseen. Why?
Why the guy is struggling? Why? All the problems walk behind. Why?
Comrade, not right here. Blood of a panther. Why is the question? What is the answer? Got a suggestion. Here's an example. Why don't we build our own airlines, states and highways, fly to Africa, do some trades with Zimbabwe? Why the mouth?
What's going on, Big Rick?
Yo, ain't nothing crazy. Ain't nothing crazy. No, actually, it was beautiful outside. It's like, it was like 50, it felt like 50, walking outside just in a hooded sweatshirt, and that was it. No bundled up, none of that. So we kind of feeling it today.
Yo, I had a heat wave.
You would have thought it was.
We was almost in the 70s today, so it was beautiful.
Yeah, like, you know, judging from last year to now, it's kind of, I think that we can withstand anything, and we are loving this weather.
Absolutely. Last year, y'all had like 18 storms at this time.
Every time we talk about, yo, we just got hit with another storm, we just got hit with another one, and it's like, now right. We're just, we ain't getting, you know, we're not getting anything.
I know. Today was a good day. Tomorrow's going to be definitely above 70. And, you know, I just came back from L.A., and L.A. was 80 and 90, dude. That was the toughest thing about leaving. And dude, when we land, it's just raining and cold. When I went outside at the airport, I'm like, oh, my God. So, like, it's getting
it makes you appreciate. You know, it makes you look at things differently. You're like, 80 and 90 in February. Wait a minute.
Right.
What is this? You know, what is this?
Dude, I couldn't even imagine doing a winter back home with you guys. I would be the worst. I would never leave. Maybe last week sometime, y'all was down to, like, the team. So I spoke to my brother. I'm like, yo, I wouldn't even go outside. He was down, I think it was, like, 1 degree. I'm like, geez. 1 degree? I said, y'all working that? Well, this is another real sports show.
Here's a quick back at it.
Sports going on. Big day yesterday, big day. Shot heard all over the world. Steph Curry. That's all I gotta say.
I don't know what I can't explain the words for it. What? Is he human, Fritz?
I'm telling you, he's not human. He can't be.
It's like, yo, and it's like, you look at the game, and you just look at it, and you're just like, wow. That game was a kudos for, you know, basketball, you know, bringing back Sunday night.
Right.
You know, they said, oh, you know what, let's take over and bring it back, you know, Sunday night, prime time. And then putting a slate of games on that we would want to watch. And this is the second time that Golden State and the Warriors have played against each other. I mean, the Thunder have played against each other. And they actually, you know, it was a heavyweight fight. You have a lot of people that are saying that, you know, the Thunder are the best chances of beating this team. They have the best chances. I don't know how much, you know, are we going to put stock into that? How much is, you know, what is it, a 5% chance, friends?
I mean,
1%?
I mean, when they go on and talking about matchups, I can understand what they're saying about OKC being a challenge for Golden State. But I think the biggest one, if you go on looking at matchups, I think it's the Clippers with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, just the athleticism. Because you got to, they can play a little bit and they're so athletic. But when you have somebody on your team named Steph, last year, it doesn't matter who you have, man. In the 7-game series, I don't see any team in the NBA that can beat them 4 games out of 7. I just don't see
it. Like, friends, how about we just go on and just give them the MVP? Give them the MVP, give them the championship. Let's just call it. I mean,
right. Save us all some time and just start rebuilding your team.
Let's get the lottery on and popping.
Right.
Let's get the draft. You know, come
I mean,
on,
just
man.
Let March Madness go on. Let the college finish and then go to the draft. It's just ridiculous. And then I was listening to some guys today on the sports, and I cannot switch over. I meant to switch over to speak to you. These guys are with the stupid theory on no, you know, Oscar Robertson, much respect, Big O. I get it with the no hand checking. But this is a different era. This is a different age. And this guy is doing something unexplainable.
Friends, the game is tied up at 118. He gets the ball. He pulls up 2 steps into half court. He shoots it. Who does that?
Right. Who does
and it
that?
Was nothing but the bottom of the net.
And that was a high percentage shot.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I mean, this is the one thing that I hate. I cannot stand the back in my day, or this wouldn't have been allowed. Then I can't stand those guys in the barbershop. I like, it's not your day anymore.
Right.
Your day's past.
Right.
Leave it alone and stop hating.
We're not rocking bell bottoms. We're not rocking platform shoes with fishes swimming in them. We're not doing that anymore.
No.
You know,
okay.
Matter of fact, you're not doing that anymore. So what are you talking about?
You hear someone like the Big O say, oh, because these coaches are not, you know, defense and things like that. And you look at them, what can you defend?
Because
you give him an inch, he's going to drill it in your face.
Yo,
no kidding. 7'5", 11". He's shooting it.
Yo, it didn't matter what they did. He was shooting over Adams. Last year, LeBron tried to come out and guard him. It just don't matter. His release is too quick. He can get his own shot off. And bottom line, he is the MVP.
Because he's the best player. And I just, you know, you look at you know, you see Phil Jackson say, oh, this mini run, oh, my Steph Curry. We had a guy named, what was it, Chris Williams, and he turned it into Sharif Abdul-Raja, you know, in Denver. And you hear, oh, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, it just, I don't know, it looks like a bunch of grumpy older men. That's what they do.
Right.
It's And if Steph Curry played in all day, he wouldn't be nothing. He'll be just Mark Price. This is like, yo, you serious? He's taking what, you know, what players that are, players who are the catch and shoot, run off the screen, Reggie Miller type of players, and he took that jumper and he's added some handle,
crazy handle.
And there you go. He had some crazy handle and unbelievable heart. And now you have Steph Curry. Like, I just don't get, you know, I just don't get these players that are just, like, you know, batting down on him. It's, yo, he's – recognize greatness. And he's
exactly.
great.
Exactly. You know, and it's nothing you can say. I don't care what anybody says. You can keep talking until you're blue in the face. And it took a game like last night. For you got to realize this. A lot of people are followers. You got a couple of leaders. You know, and I agree with you. Chris Webber was on a show not too long ago talking about the same thing about back in our day. Come on, Webber. It doesn't matter at this point. I don't even want to get it. We're talking about today. We're talking about today, and what do I see? I see this dude splashing threes everywhere. I see OKC playing at the highest level they can play. Golden State struggling, and you still can't beat them. Klay Thompson didn't hit his first three until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, see, there you go for it. Exactly.
And you never seen. I never looked at them like they're out of it. When he came over and went and shot that ball over that 7 foot Adams. And got it to four, I was like, they're going to win this game. I just did not see them losing this game. And they didn't see themselves losing the game. Everything that OKC did, even when Durant hit that three and went him up by four, I was like, oh, still a good game, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got to bring that to beat them every single time. I don't think you can do that. And they're still lost. That game going into a foul at the free throw, you know, just to end the game, and it didn't. Iguodala, first of all, I don't know how Kevin Durant didn't just – what was the mindset, first of all, Golden State, not to foul, you know?
Yeah.
Forcing Kevin Durant to throw whatever he was throwing up, it looked like a Peyton Manning pass. Flopping in the air, and not just with that, Klay Thompson, of course, is going to outjump Waiters, but he tips it over. Draymond Green saves it. They push it. Yo, you can't even script that.
Man, like I said, Chris, I just look at it and. He's just on another level. And I look at that. That game was definitely – that was definitely an entertaining game. Both teams going back. You've seen it. It went to overtime. I mean, sorry, Grant, you know, Durant got fouled out. But you've seen this is the type of product that NBA wants to put to the forefront because as you look at it, I mean, I understand NBA has been getting washed out. Because you don't have as much competitiveness at the top. But you just can't deny to be fascinated by this run by the Warriors. First, they only lost 10 games since April 18th last year. 10 games.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The last two seasons, there's been 120-something in 20. That is, how do you, Chris, I just don't, I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's dude, the thing about that is just so crazy is I looked at the game and was looking at the game and Steph is just like one of those players like should freak. When I'm never going to see something like that, I don't know. Again, and the funny part about it is you're looking at what's his face? You're looking at LeBron, and it's almost like people still saying LeBron is this all-time player, but I think his era might be over.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no disrespect to him, but I don't see anybody recouping from this Steph Curry. I mean, how we beat you? Three B2s all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, exactly. Because I mean, you look at someone like Steph Curry, and like I said, he's otherworldly, and he goes on to this run, Prince. I mean, you may be talking about an all-time great.
Yeah, he is.
You may be talking about an all-time great. I honestly, you know, you just going back to history, and no disrespect to history, but you just don't see, I just don't see a player that's doing things that he's doing. Quite
no, easy. Not at all. And exactly like you said it, I'm looking at it, and then I'm looking at through the league, and I'm looking at team for team, and if they stay together, this is the difference. Their bench. A few players on their bench can go to another team and start easily. Andre Iguodala, he can start. Livingston definitely can start another team. But the thing about it is, it's almost like they're really having fun. They're really having a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah, it's fun watching them.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I have fun watching them. It's not even like a stressful looking at coming. We're both big fans of our own teams. You know how we have to look at the sports? Like, oh, gosh, either you suck or I'm happy to be a fan. Them, I'm just like, oh, they're having a lot of fun. I'm having fun looking at them. I'm like, do you see this? The way they move the ball. And it's not just Steph. Steph just put on a performance that was just a freak. 12 for 16 from the 3-point, tied the NBA record. Then how many points did he break? Huh?
What do you say now?
I said he's going 12 for 16 from the 3. He tied the NBA record for threes for a game. He broke the NBA record for most threes in the season, and it's February.
Prince, they have, what are they clinched? They clinched.
Yes. They clinched the playoff berth.
Prince, they clinched a playoff berth. Yes, I mean, and it's February, and it's, we're not trying to go on, people were not trying to go on and say, oh, because it's, you know, the leap year. No, they clinched it during the regular time, in the regular February.
Right, so. Right. Gone yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you definitely got to marvel and look at them. And we've been talking about time and time, and I think we both agree that they may be gunning for that record. They may even tie it. They may tie it.
Yeah, they are.
But That record's definitely up for debate. I mean, it's up for grabs. And so definitely, I mean, Chris, like I said, they are a team to be reckoned with, and they're just only going to just keep getting better. And just like you said, Chris, if they can keep this show, and they can keep this show together, and they can convince those, you know, younger, I mean, them older veteran-type players, you know, that want to come, They can definitely hold on because he's definitely
in his prime. Yeah, I mean, I can see them easily going on for another 2 to 3 years, at least 3 to 4 years, you know, and just dominating. And then people, you know, saying like, if Steph Curry starts playing next year, he's still going to be one of the greatest shooters, if not the best shooter of all time. You know, Magic. Oh, if he plays at this level 3 to 5 years. Clearly, if he's broken the record for most threes made, what level do you have to continue playing at? And whose standards are y'all asking him to meet? Because nobody's playing at his level. For one.
No. Nobody, like, nobody is, you know, people keep saying that, they'll say that. And it's just like, yo, there's no one at his level. I mean, who can you look at and say, I just look at it now and say, how do you stop him? I'm at a loss of words on how to stop him, right? How do you stop a Steph Curry?
Oh.
Frizz Young, the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, the Clippers, the you know, what is it that you do?
I mean, the thing about it is, it's not just stopping Steph Curry. It's just their whole team is a problem. And Steph Curry he's just a guy that can turn it on when he needs to. And like what he had to do last night. I mean, come on. Like I said, you know, Klay Thompson didn't hit a three until the fourth quarter. He couldn't hit the bottom of the ocean in the beginning of the game. I mean, Barnes didn't have a good game. I mean, if you go back and look at it, it was only three guys in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson, you know, of course, Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala. That was the only three guys in double figures for the whole game. So, you know, of course, they didn't have their best shooting performance. And I'm not taking away from OKC. They did. The defense was on them. They did cause Draymond Green some problems. But it's so hard to give me so much credit because you lost. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your game plan is to go in there, cause that much problems out of Golden State, be up by 9 and 11 with 2 to 3 minutes left to go in the game, and up by 4 with what 14 seconds?
Yeah.
It's hard to give you that much credit because you totally melted. You melt down. So you played about 59 minutes good. But you need
59 and a half minutes.
Right. You play the whole game good except the last 15 seconds.
Yeah. Essentially, yes, Chris.
Of regulation, and that cost you the whole game. And then that's how much pressure that Steph put on you. I mean, because he wasn't coming down to rolling off a pick and foot on a line. He wasn't even getting picked sometimes. He was crossing over, pulling up in front of two dudes' faces, just like, oh my goodness. I don't even have no words to say to what I was looking at last night. It's like, and I've seen Kobe's 81. I've seen all of those. That still was not like this. This was just like they're running 2-3 dudes at him, and he still was like, then to put the exclamation point on the game, I'm going to step 2 feet in front of the half-court line and shoot the game winner.
That's what I'm saying, Frizz, and that's, you know, definitely the look at it now, you're just like, wow. But I'm going into other things right now. People may know this is another part of the NBA season. I want to say this is the waiver. This is the veterans that get washed up. Some people think they're washed up. They get it. They actually, you know, they are waived, and they go on to join, you know, another team. But we've seen Joe, you know, the same thing. It just happened with Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson was just waived by the Nets. He's now going off to go sign with the Miami Heat. And this is where the NBA teams will re-up and get that veteran leadership or veteran spark points that they couldn't get at the, you know, the trading deadline. You know, speaking of the trading deadline, Frizz, I mean, I know we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but what a dud it was. And what, you know, if I want to say something about back in the day, I wish the trading deadline back in the day was still in existence now, because trading deadlines now were just, they're just minor players going for minor players, and that's it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the trading deadline, I mean the trading at that point, was so mediocre? I mean, I think it had more to do with is getting this player or us doing this, this, and this going to get us to be able to compete with Golden State. I just don't think it was anybody out there.
Yeah.
For any team.
Also, too, though, Frazier, you probably have teams out there that look at their squad and say, I think that now you have a lot of GMs that are scared to mess up, and they don't want to pull that trigger.
You're right.
They look at their squad and say, I don't want to mess up what I have here. They always say, oh, well, there's a lot of deals that could have been done. We'll revisit them in the offseason.
If they couldn't have got done then, they're not going to get done in the offseason. I mean, you're trying to make a push right now. I mean, to me, teams like OKC definitely needed to make one move.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing one player, probably that can help get them over the edge. I mean, look what happened in overtime when Kevin Durant fouled out. Everybody was just looking at Westbrook like, save us, save us, save us. You need another score. You need some better bench players. That's what you need.
No, definitely. But also, Tudor Fritz is, you know, a thing with when you factor in when you factor in trading, you got to trade something to get something. Also, Tudor. So that's definitely a problem.
Get rid of waiters and a draft pick at this point.
I mean, you look at Waiters. He is. Wow, and you wonder what Cleveland? why was he even picked that high when he was drafted? Like, seriously,
right. He didn't make one shot yesterday, did he?
No. and this is a guy that says he wants a max contract.
Right.
You better hope that you can play good enough so you can stay in this league.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. Max my behind. You better. Try and wish you can just stay playing. I mean, to me, there's a few teams and a few players that I would just kind of like try and go get. I mean, the Bulls need to do something. I mean, I would entertain, a couple of players on the Pistons. You know, see who was willing. I made a big one the other day when the last time we talked, and I was like, why no one's trying to get a Rudy Gay?
I think that what happened was with someone like Rudy Gay is I think that Rudy Gay wasn't – I don't think that people looked at Rudy Gay like that. I don't think that people looked at Rudy Gay and said, okay, we'll take the chances. Plus, I think Sacramento was asking for a lot for him.
Sacramento needs to find Jesus right now. they really, building around Cousins, which Cousins is a good player, don't get me wrong. But he's not messing with the coach. He's not messing with the players. Either you're going to start with him and build around him, or you're going to get rid of him and build a team.
Mm-hmm.
What are they kind of looking for to it? Or are they not taking phone calls, which is like crazy, but you know how organizations get. To me, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I just felt if I'm looking at some teams, definitely, I mean, the Clippers, I mean, I know they're banking on getting Blake Griffin back. I still just don't see them being able to beat the Spurs nor the Warriors. You know? The Grizzlies, to me, are at their peak and going down. Rockets are a big disappointment. They just blowing in the wind. You have players like Trevor Ariza, They have players on that. Yeah. I don't know. If I was them, a couple of them has had their payday. Me, I would trade me, man. I want to get a ring. I want to get the season talking and being like Barkley in them.
No, definitely, because, you know, what's funny is, you know, I seen a report of Carmelo, and he was just frustrated, and he just, you know, I think he was at a loss of words of, you know, what was going on. And, I mean, I look at him like, dude, I can't feel sorry for you. You spurned the team at the Bulls who were interested in you. Then, you know, they said, oh, let's do something. And also, you walked yourself down for 5 years.
Right.
Granted, you got the guaranteed money, so you know that $130 million is coming your way regardless. But with this new, I was talking with friends the other day, and I just think that LeBron got it right. LeBron said, you know what? I'm going to keep signing these one-year deals. I'm gonna tell you, he's seen the money coming. He's seen the new NBA money coming. Now you're talking about a player who's max, you know, who's the max player now. He can get $30 million. So you look at a player like LeBron, he's looking at that max money saying, oh, I'm gonna wait till I can get that big money. That's when I sign a contract, rather than Carmelo, who's getting, you know, big money, but he could have, you know, got to his potential as far as an earning. He limited himself. And also, too, though, him signing a 5-year deal didn't put the, you know, that fire under the Knicks' ass saying, oh, we better hurry up and, you know, build something here, or he could leave us. Now they're like, oh, we got Carmelo for 5 years. Oh, whatever. If we suck, we suck. If we don't, we don't. Whatever. What is he going to do?
Right. And see, that's where I didn't understand. See, well, basically, it was almost like something that Phil either had to take or whatever. That's not Phil's MO after coming in. And so I agree with you now. Look, I had this. I got to try and either build this right now or, you know, and I've got to take these pieces as they come. And it's just not enough good players playing on that team for them to do really anything. I don't care how good, you know, pure of a scorer Carmelo is. I mean, that's almost like taking Westbrook off and just see how OKC would be with just Durant. And to me, Durant's one of the best pure scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely to be Steph, Durant, and Carmelo in that same category, you know, not in order, but just being able to purely score. But it's like you still need other players on that team to win, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They can score as well as they can, but Steph is not scoring 121 points. Carmelo's not scoring 90 points by himself. Kevin Durant's not scoring 100 points by himself. So the team is what you need, and they just don't have a good team. But not to do anything. They don't have a team that has any kind of continuity, and then you got a team that can probably play worth it something, but then you want them to play this triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the league is just a little bit past the triangle. I'm sorry, Phil.
I think he needs to, like I asked you before, because when we were talking about after the Derek Fisher acquiring, would he entertain just implementing the system, but just having, you know, dashes of it, not just a full base triangle? Because if you look at the triangle offense, it was successful, but you had two generational type of players, Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan.
Right. That makes a big difference when you're doing that. And don't get me wrong, not just saying that you're a good person that can help players like that play against each other, if that makes sense. You know, taking the Dennis Rodman and getting him to play, you know, basketball on that level. So I respect that and I get that. But again, you have Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You had Kobe Bryant, Shaq, you know, Robert Horry, Rick Fox, Harper. You know, I mean, Brian Shaw. Do you see what his team was like? I mean, come on, you got some old veterans that was playing on that team that was like ice. You couldn't move them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that was just shows what was going on as far as the wins. But, I mean, this is the up-and-down league. You catch the ball and you pushing it. We're trying to get this score off before the defense gets set, period. That's our number one option. That's what we're trying to do.
No, and that's the number one option. That's always the option. But moving on to other things, we have, Chris, how much stock do you put in something like the Columbine, Chris?
I don't. I mean, it's kind of easy. I mean, that's like going to jail and getting a bunch of guys out the rec yard and going down there and having them run up and down with their shirts off and you thinking they're going to be a good player just by their physique. I just don't. I mean, to me, there's enough film to look at. What extra is the combine going to do for you?
No, I definitely understand that, Chris. I definitely see where you're coming from. You look at it and say, oh, what is this? What does this tell me that I don't already know? Or what
exactly.
I shouldn't. And what is the, you know, what is this different than what tape, you know, what the tape's going to tell me? But also, though, Chris, if you look at, but also you can't discount, there's some aspects that you look at it and you see some flaws, or, you know, some people may get enamored, too enamored sometimes, though, with the guys that run the 4-3.
So let me ask you a question. What did people see in the combine when it was Tom Brady?
He was unathletic and he was slow.
Right.
Skinny.
5'2".
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like, what did that determine, though? At the end of the day, what, six times in the Super Bowl, 4-time Super Bowl champion?
No, definitely, Frizz. I mean,
that helped.
No, you look at it and you look at it. And I think that it's somewhat helpful. I don't think it's the end all be all, because I think your game speaks up more for itself. I think there's some, you know, teams go for differently. Teams go just to meet the prospects. You know, throw out questions, see how players react, and you know, things to that effect. But I don't think that because he ran this, because sometimes your game speed is different from, you know, this. You know, running around in your underwear.
Right,
so
right.
It's definitely a lot. I don't think that you can look at a player, but also, though, I mean, I don't want to see a wide receiver running a 4.9 now.
Oh, definitely not. when you work them out, generally you know their speed, though. And I mean, it's so different, too, because when you're taking a wide receiver out of college, it's so different when they run in freehand than when you have a person like Sherman, you know, checking you on the other end and you looking at him and your feet are getting flustered. He's forcing you out and you want to go in and you don't know how to do that. See, to me, that's what that all comes with time and working that you know, and training that you're going to have to develop.
Yeah.
That's not going to come from, you know, anything that I can look at the combine and see. To me, it's like, talk to the coach. How is his work ethic? Is he somebody that easily that takes criticism? Is it someone that wants to work on his craft? That's what I think plays out more than anything. So, I understand the combine, but I just don't put too much stock in it. Like, that's not the all be all. Like, because the guy ran a 4.1, you just losing your head over it. You know, you see a Joey Galloway, which is fast, but he wasn't a great receiver. He's just fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's a commentator trying to comment on catches and stuff like that. You couldn't catch. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
No, but also, too, though, you know, combine is just not about what you're doing on the field as far as, you know, the activities. There's also the interview processes, and also you get the medical eval. Like, people come up to you, friends, and be like, you had a hairline fracture in your foot in the ninth grade. And you're like, wait a second, what? No one did it. And there's things like, you know, things like that that they will find in your medical report. And they'd be
right.
Like, whoa. And you found Jalen Smith, who was maybe the top prospect. The top, you know, the number one prospect. He's, linebacker from Notre Dame. Tore his knee up. Last game of the year in the Fiesta Bowl. And now you're talking about, now you have a medical eval saying that he may miss the season. And this may be it for him. And you look at him, and now he's disheartened, and he has nerve damage and things like that. And now you look at him, you're just like, wow. If I'm a top prospect for the first, if I'm not kid from LSU, Leonard Fournette, I'm calling Les Miles and saying, you know what? I'm going to go train. I'm sitting out.
Right.
So you're talking about somebody being top five pick to falling. And granted, they may not even get that chance to recoup that money back because you know they're going to be the same. Look at Marcus Lattimore from, South Carolina. He had to retire.
Right.
He couldn't play.
You're right. I forgot about him.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. First, like, you look at these, these young kids and all these players, and it's just like, yo, you know what? You love the game, but you gotta look as far as for your health point. If you get hurt, you get hurt in the NFL, at least you're getting money. At least you're getting paid. I'm not saying go out there being afraid to get hurt,
right.
But when you're in the NFL, you're getting paid instead of getting pimped. Instead
right.
of being pimped by the NCAA.
Like a little biatch.
That's the little difference that, nobody's not looking at. And I'm just like, it's been real. But hey, when you look at a player, he's a, surefire top prospect, leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think nobody's going to be mad. It's been real. I'm going to go sit out.
I'm going to sit out.
Look at him. Look at him. He was talking top prospect, and now he may fall to, out of the, first 3 rounds, who knows? His career may be done. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that has got to be on a lot of people that's a top prospect's mind. It's a worker. So, for example, your team. Had a horrible year. You Dallas Cowboys. They had a number 4 draft pick. I know it's too early, but the draft is not on until like another, a month. Maybe it's actually next month. Maybe it's actually 2 months away right now, for this day. But, Stephen Jones thing, if you guys know there's a franchise quarterback there, he said he may pull the trigger. What do you have to say about that
first? Dude, I really don't know. They really don't know what's going to go on.
And they just blow smoke up our asses and just see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they really should go after RG3. I mean,
okay.
I do think Romo has maybe 3 years top.
Just three?
Huh?
Just three?
I mean, at a high level, At a competing level, dude, it just depends on how fast sometimes the league is moving. Defensive guys are getting faster. I mean, with this offensive line, because let's just see how long they can keep this offensive line together. Because you don't want him going back to the old Tony Romo running for his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that smart quarterback where I can get rid of I'll just get rid of the ball instead of getting hit. He's still the quarterback reminds me I got to dance around and make a play. That's not going to cut it in this age category. This would be real. I mean, you're not getting older. You can't move like you moved 3 years ago. So 3 years from now, you're still going to be trying to twist and turn, and these guys like Von Miller is running after you. Come on, man. It's not happening.
Yeah.
I say develop. Have him work with somebody like a RG3. And meanwhile, you know Jerry Jones is like, either I want to win or I want somebody that I can manipulate and make money off.
I look at it and I say, I don't look at any of these prospects and say, he's a guy that is surefire for this. I don't see it. I think you guys should look at defense. You guys look at defense and say, you know what? What we need to go get is some help in the secondary. You know, proceed from there. I feel though that you're not in a position just to reach for a quarterback when you need help in other areas.
Right. I think we need to deal Sean Lee when you can get some money for him.
For nobody's taking Sean Lee off you guys' hands.
Shut up. I think we still can get.
Come on, Chris. Nobody's taking. He's like a concussion. You know. Away from being done, I mean, I'm not saying that it can be me, but that's for sure.
It's me and my obsession all the time about a lot of my teams waiting too late to get rid of players when they have. That's the most frustrating part. Like, Sean Lee should have been gone 2 years ago.
Where Sean Lee was hurt 2 years ago.
Shut up.
So, nobody is taking, you know, banged up Sean Lee off the guy's hands. I just you can get that fantasy world of that, but I don't look at Sean Lee as being a player that teams are gonna be beating you guys door down, you know, for. But I don't think that. But I mean, your point as far as an RG3.
No,
I'm
not saying beating the door down. I'm saying you can get rid of him. I don't care what you get. You can get some pieces that will fit into what you're doing.
Yeah, but who's going to trade pieces for, you know, us, Sean Lee?
Cleveland. Come on, are you serious?
What is Cleveland? I got to trade Sean Lee for Johnny Manziel.
No, I didn't say that. That's the piece that we ain't getting. Johnny Manziel is going to be released anyway.
Huh?
Johnny Manziel is going to be released anyway. I'm talking about a couple of pieces. It just doesn't have to be Sean Lee up in forefront. It could be a couple of other moves, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just want to see. I don't know if I see any teams or, you know, beating down doors or, you know, trying to get, you know, like Sean Lee. But I love the plan as far as something like an RG3. It looks like Kirk Cousins is going to get the franchise tag or, you know, whatever kind of tag. You have now RG3s in limbo. Obviously, we know that he's probably getting, you know, cut or released. He's probably get traded. But I think that, you know, him going to a team that has a quarterback to go learn from, I think that would be, like, you know, best for him. I just think that he's a brand new slate. He's a, you know, a brand new slate.
Yeah. You know what? It's football is going to be so hard. I still think, like, some of the teams are going to still be there. Like, you're going to have your Denver because of their deep. And it all depends on what they do with Von Miller, but they might smack them with the franchise tag. But I still think, like, Seattle's going to be up there.
I still think the Patriots are going to be up there. I still think Carolina's going to be up there. And Denver, I still think Denver will be up there. Their defense is going to stay together. Hopefully one player won't make the overall difference from them competing. I even think Jets might have a better year, being it's just the second season with this core group of players coming in. But everybody else, I can't, you know, I'm a big Cowboys fan. I just still think they don't have what they need to get over the hump, but I think they do. I don't think their defensive backs are good enough to keep pressure on the cornerbacks while the rush is getting to the quarterback, you know? And maybe next year prove different with the young dude, DeMarcus. But I just, you know, it just all has to play out. You know how football is. I mean, look at Carolina 2 years ago. Barely made the playoffs last year. They 15-1. It's just, I'm not doing it this year. You're not going to make me do it this year. And I'm not picking before I see some football games.
Come on, Fred. Don't give
me. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Cause look at Baltimore in the playoffs, almost one play away from the AFC Championship, and this year they can barely even freaking score a touchdown. I'm not doing it. They're going to be looking at, like, Carolina is going to be, like, 4-12 next year.
Yeah, I don't think Carolina or somebody falls like that. No, it's definitely the beauty of the sport. But also, too, though, is that now, next week is actually, we have trading creates. So you have teams that are, you know, I think tomorrow, I mean, Wednesday, you know, Tuesday is actually, you know, deadline. So you see, you know, people get, you know, with the franchise tags. And, you know, there's going to be some players that are going to, you know, be like, go. Well, not that you might go, they're going to be able to test the market. And, you know, teams like Denver, that defense is going to get, could get gutted if, you know, some people look at some of those players and say, oh, we need that. Here's X amount of money, because as we know, you can't pay everyone.
Right.
Everyone can't be paid.
Yeah, and
so,
that's the thing about it. I mean, if you're going across the border, and let me ask you a question about your team and the Patriots. I mean, what move do you think they need to make, you know, moving forward? I mean, just addressing the offensive line or what?
Yeah, as far as the Patriots?
Yep.
I think that obviously offensive line is something you have to address. I mean, you look at it, they got rid of the coach. And they brought back their own coach. Also, it's more so like a youth. They need to add. They need to have an infusion of youth, you know, in the offense. They need to get, you know, some younger players. You know, as far as the running back position, a better player. They need a power back. They need someone to go along with, you know, Deion Lewis and James White. Those who your pass catchers. Now you need to go get you a power guy, somebody that can, you know, wear defenses down. And when it's those cold, you know, games and once, you know, those cold games in February and January, that can run people over.
Mm-hmm.
And so can get you those hard yards. So they need that player. You know, maybe they sign, they get Blount back. But I think that you look at the defense, I think it's more so on depth. Defense, I think the stars are already entrenched. It's more so on depth. So, you know, you don't find yourself in a predicament if a player gets hurt. You know, it's like you got a practice squad guy out there. So I don't think that your defense is very much focused. I think it's more focused on the offense. It's more of a fusion of youth. And just hopefully, you know, if they do get rid of someone like Brandon LaFell, get someone that can be Brandon LaFell of the championship season, because that was a guy who came up big for him as far as him being a big body receiver who can go up, you know, get, you know, catch those 50-50 balls, because that's what's definitely what an offense, you know, that's what, you know, Tom Brady would love to have, is a guy that can go up and, you know, get it, you know, help him out. You know, who wouldn't? I mean, Fred, you see it now in Dallas. I mean, there's times where Tony Romo may throw a, you know, a terrible pass and Dez Bryant comes down with it. And he's just like, wow, how did he catch it? I mean, unless you're playing Green Bay.
No, they said that wasn't a catch, remember?
Nah, I mean, definitely. So, I mean, those, though, I mean, I look at it. So if you had to ask me, I'll say wide receiver, running back. You know, wide receiver, running back, and, so, you know, for offensive line help. Those are my three, you know, positions. You know, offensive lineman is not, there's five positions across that board. So, but those are three areas that I would definitely look at as far as in the Patriots to add. And if it could be a guy like Matt Forte, I'll definitely be excited to add him, you know, to the team, because we wouldn't be counting him to be a bell cow, because obviously I don't think that he can be that now as he's, you know, entering 30. And you know how that goes.
I mean, just listen to how you sound, man. I mean, we're putting so much pressure on these running backs. When he's 30, we can't expect him to do all of that. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, because I mean, you look
he's
at you know
29 and he's retiring because I'm too old. This is like crazy, dude. It's really crazy.
No, I mean, if you look at like you know the running back, and that's why you gotta look at somebody like Adrian Peterson. It's like wow. When is the wheels ever going to fall off? Because, you know, he is not human. But these running backs, when you get to a certain age now, that's a lot of treads on those tires. It's a lot of treads on those tires. And 30 is like 35 in running back years, 36, 37.
Man.
I'm just saying, that's just how, you know, you just look at, you know, certain guys as far as who's the run, you know, guys who that are running backs. Speaking of running backs, for you have, you know, reports out there that saying that your boy DeMarco maybe want to come back. you have teams, the Eagles, you know, he doesn't seem like he wants to be there anymore, and his friends. I don't think the grass was greener on the other side.
No, it definitely wasn't. I mean, we said this before. I wasn't, when he first said he was going there, I'm like, that doesn't fit the style of running that you run. And it might make you more frustrated than anything. They're trying to hike the ball every 10 seconds, you know? So, running behind that line. If nobody else can come out and say it, I know a player like Emmitt Smith will tell you how beneficial it is running behind a great line. And Barry Sanders will tell you how, you know, frustrating it is doing all that work with no line, you know. Games has changed now, and, you know, he went after his payday. Okay, cool, you got your payday. But see, he was the type of player that wanted to win. And if he wanted to win, he kind of should have stayed put because, like I said, you were hurt a few years. You kind of owed that back to the team because you were hurt.
Uh-huh.
I could see if it was totally different where, you know, they didn't build this line and you kept playing and, you know, you almost was like AP. You know, you just played, you played no matter what. But, dude, no, you were hurt. You know, and you got hurt when they would make the push to either make the playoffs or make a run in the playoffs, and you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not blaming that totally on him. Don't get me wrong. You still should be able to do things without one player dictating, but sometimes one player can kind of shift certain things according to what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. No, and I mean, definitely. I mean, you've seen the Cowboys, the way they ran him into the ground last year. You kind of looked at it and said, oh, I think the Cowboys are just trying to, like, low-key get rid of him, saying, oh, we really don't want you. We're going to use you. It's that car that you, that everybody wants you to just drive it everywhere. And you're like, okay, top dollar. It's like, and the person comes to you at the end, like, oh, I don't want this car no more. Do you want it back? And like, nah, that's fine. You can keep it.
Right.
It was amazing. So, you know, definitely. So we're definitely gonna be, you know, more to, you know, in the monitor. Definitely as you know, the basketball season progresses, it's gonna be more, you know, focused on basketball. You know, Golden State's run for that record. You know, thank y'all for tuning in. You know, we'll see y'all, you know, y'all next show. Thank y'all for tuning in. And this is Rick and Frizz, and we out.
All right, we out.